Yeah, now we're hot.
All right, now we're hot. Here we go.
Hot for episode 24.
Yep. We got a lot on the menu today. We'll see what we get to here.
Yeah, we do have a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. But most relevant is we got the NHL playoffs still on. So we got to touch on that.
Yeah, conference finals. Where do you want to start?
I think I want to start with Freddie because it just happened last night. Or he's the most recent, at least.
Okay.
Touch the ice.
Okay.
So I think we begin there. I did not see the full game yesterday. I went to bed after the second period. But from what I saw, Freddie looked pretty dialed. And so did his team, for the record.
Yeah. Elimination game.
Public service announcement. Your team has a direct impact on your results.
Yeah. 100%.
So,
right.
You know.
I mean, Carolina's too good. Backs against the wall, Eastern Conference Finals to go 0-16. What? So they would have been 0-16?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you're that good and you don't win a conference final game.
Yeah, it was almost, I mean, I thought it was going to happen. I'm not going to lie. I was like, man, maybe the Panthers just
have like
them
figured out. It
looked
like they were
going
to sweep them. Yeah, it did. Know? It did.
Like, maybe Paul Maurice just has the recipe to, I don't know, to have success against man-on-man coverage or something. I don't know.
Well, they play man-on-man too.
Florida does?
Yeah.
Really?
According to Seth Jones, yeah.
Like in every situation in their D-zone?
He just said they play man-on-man in the D-zone.
Well, that's wild.
It was an interview and warm-ups because he was talking about how it was nice to go to Florida because he wanted to play meaningful games in May and June. And in Chicago, they weren't doing that, which is fair. public service announcement for those of you who don't know. And, he was saying it was a little bit different adjustment because he's a little bit more active on the rush and they play man-on-man, so that was a little bit of an adjustment for him.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
That was like one of those warm-up interviews.
Oh, like while they're on the ice?
Yeah.
Those are bizarre to me. I don't like the warm-up interviews.
Yeah, you sacrifice 2.5 minutes of your warm-up.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Like, that's precious time.
It is. You know, everyone's got their routine. They're like 95 games into their routine.
Yeah.
And now you want
to
pull me aside.
They probably don't even need warm-ups.
Yeah, that's true. They probably
they're
don't.
Just like, yeah, I'm just playing again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, at one point, it was like maybe halfway through the second period, I looked at the shot clock and it was Carolina had like 16 to Florida 7. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then actually the puck, like it was a play. They tried to make like a lateral pass on like a 3-on-2 rush.
Yep.
And I think it was Marchand that like tipped it maybe.
Yep.
And it like rolled in on Freddie. And I remember thinking, whoa, that's like a dangerous play.
Yep.
And at this point, Freddie only has like 7 or 8 shots.
So he's still trying to get into rhythm a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he like jumped on the puck where he's like laying on his stomach. I'm like, Freddie might just be trying to
feel
a little
something.
This was last night. Yeah.
Yeah. he's trying to get in rhythm.
Yeah. The puck was like 1 foot in front of his pads. He could have just like covered it.
Yeah.
But instead he just like falls on his
stomach. But see, that's a good indicator of Freddie probably doesn't feel his best focus wise, but his team's playing well. So it's just like, you know, you just settle in and try to make every save, and he ended up making every save because he got a shutout.
Yeah, how many saves did he end up making, do you know?
I don't remember. I don't think it wasn't like a 45 save shutout though.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
I figured not, because I mean, I saw the last save I remember was like his 8th save,
and yeah,
it was more than halfway through the game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's been some wild games like that, I think, for both teams where they have either, well, one of the teams has single digit shots like towards the end of the second period still.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like from what I saw from Freddie, I know you mentioned potentially he wasn't feeling too good, but he looked like he was pretty dialed.
Well, it's tough. Yeah, I'm sure he was dialed, but it's hard to be like, it's hard to feel like you're in a flow when you've only seen 8 shots through almost 2 periods.
Yeah, so
yeah, hard. They gave up 20 shots last night.
Okay, so he ended up. So all right, so in the first, oh shit, Stu, 35 minutes of the game, he sees 7.
Yeah.
And then he sees 13
in 25
in the last 25. So that, see, I think we've both been in those games before where it's like first half, you're like, come on, give me a little something. Then you make a couple saves and the other team probably starts to pour it on, which leads to you getting more shots, obviously, because they're trailing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a skill set as a goalie to be able to get through a game like that where you don't see much action.
Yeah.
And then but you know in the third period, like, the Florida Panthers are going to make a push here.
Yeah, I think Bob and Freddie have both done a really good job with that this series, where they don't see very many shots, but they're still able to just relax and just focus on what's going on. And, you know, speaking of the conference, well, I think first, okay, I got a few thoughts that are jumbled up, so I got to get them out one at a time. First, we got to talk about people panicking, saying, does Freddie play the next game?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. They started Kochetkov.
Played Kochetkov, which Kochetkov. I could understand. Yeah, Kochetkov.
Kochetkov.
Kochetkov. Okay, Kochetkov came in, which his like skill is crazy. Like, his hips and everything are just like
seems like wild. Seems like he plays a little wild to me.
He does. I think he's a young guy. I also like him because he's kind of like a gear nerd. He, on his social media, has been posting content and stuff what he has for gear, and it's been very helpful to me.
Okay, cool.
As another professional.
Right. Well, yeah, but he's got resources.
As a guy that doesn't have everything at his fingertips.
Yeah. he could just wake up one morning and be like, you know what? I want to try the Scriven strap on my pad.
Yeah.
I'm gonna text my guy.
I don't like these skates.
Oh, weird. They're here the next day.
Yeah. I'll have new ones by tomorrow.
Yeah. We're not joking, by the way. That's more or less what it is.
But then after he lost, so now they're down 3-0. People were like, well, now what happens? Do you start Freddie next game? It's like, obviously you start Freddie next game. If he wins, you might still start Freddie next game. I don't get what goes on with all the panicking as far as we're panicking with the goalies. It's not like the Canes have had a very good series. It's not like Freddie's playing bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for an uneducated fan, I can see how it makes sense to just be like, okay, we got to switch goalies here.
Yeah, but the commentators, like media commentators, this is what's on, are all like, well, I don't know if we could play Freddie.
Right. Just it's not the uneducated fan that bothers us. It's the educated one or the commentators or
right.
whoever. It's the professionals.
You guys
like,
watch
you
like every
else.
Game.
Yeah. Like, they should know better. They've seen. Yeah, how do you watch Freddie Anderson for like, he probably started what? Actually, knowing Freddie, probably started like 3 games this year because he's always hurt. But he probably played like realistically 25, 30 games this year.
Yeah.
And then he's been playing all playoffs. You're watching this guy. He's an absolute stud. And then
he's been a stud all playoffs. He's got all the experience.
And then the team and him have a rough couple games. Literally game 1 and 2, right?
Yeah. And then Kochetkov
played 3.
3.
So he has 2 bad games, or the team does. And they're just like, yeah, you got to start someone else. I've never understood that.
Right.
Really.
Okay, but right, and they were still saying that after game 3. It's like, well, now what do we do? It's like, well, obviously you play Freddie.
Yeah, that's my point. Have you not watched this guy?
I like Rod Brendamore. He said he was switching the goalies up to get a different vibe, which is fine. You know, maybe the guys come out and they play with a little more juice because they're like, you know, okay, Freddie's sat down now. But you lose game 3. That's like, what do you mean? What do? You're going back with Freddie, and Rod Brendamore did. Credit to him.
Well, yeah,
and look what happened.
Yeah. He's not stupid. I've never understood the whole thing of changing the vibe by starting a different goalie. Like, what are the boys are they looking backwards while they're trying to put the puck in the net? I don't understand.
I don't know.
That's
think it's
always
just like,
bothered me.
I don't know.
It's like, oh, we got to play hard now because now Freddie's getting blamed for this, so we got to play for him. Like,
yeah,
is that really going through Brent Burns's mind? Or is he just a pro that's just always trying to win?
Well, I would say you try to win either way. That's what I don't understand as a goalie is they're always talking about, well, we got to change it up by getting the goalie out of there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I get changing the goalie because the goalie's been playing like ass, but I don't get changing the goalie up because the team's been playing.
I get changing the goalie because you just got ripped for 6 in like 30 minutes of hockey. It's like, man, I got to get this guy out of here.
I got to help this guy out.
I feel bad for this guy.
Yeah. One, I got to help this guy out, and 2, potentially, I need this guy out of my neck. I need someone who can stop the puck.
Depending on what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just never understood like the whole momentum.
Like, this guy is not having fun tonight.
Yeah. But just like, which goalie, not wording this right, what does it matter if Freddie's in net or Kochetkov's in net in regards to the team's controlled breakout or cycling it down low in the offensive zone? Like, I just don't understand that. I don't get it.
I don't know. That's a mystery to me. I think what we're getting at in this discussion is that apparently goaltending is a riddle to a lot of people, including people who commentate and cover hockey every day.
Yeah.
And I guess apparently. And I guess how forwards approach games, depending on what's going on, is a mystery to us.
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand. I think it's just an excuse to just for a coach to be like, yeah, I'm going to sit him so that we can have a little bit of a different feel for the team. But really what he's saying is, I'm going to sit this guy. We're losing, and he's not stopping enough pucks, if I'm being honest.
Maybe that's what it is. But I don't think he's the reason they're losing.
No, and that coach might not either. But maybe he thinks that the other guy is just going to stop one more puck.
Maybe.
But he just doesn't. He's not going to come out and say that.
But, I mean, we saw Kochetkov look like he was flying around a little bit.
Yeah, but that guy hasn't played for, like, since the regular season.
And it's he's getting put in the first time in the playoffs. And he's like, yeah, I want to win for the boys. 100%. And that's what we were talking about a couple weeks ago, where you start focusing on, I want to win. I want to be good for my team, which you do.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you start putting too much energy into that, there's just pressure, and then you're flying around chasing the game a little bit, and then you're almost worse because of it. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. You made a comment a couple podcasts ago. Obviously, this is 2 weeks ago, so Freddie had not yet played those game one and two of the conference final here, and he was playing very good. The team was playing very good. You made a comment that you've noticed when Freddie is, or sometimes Freddie is a little bit too, like, lackadaisical.
We were talking about sometimes almost Freddie, he gets like a little bit too chill. Like, he's so smooth and calm when he's making saves and when he's moving around that I think sometimes he gets a little bit too chill and doesn't stretch out or doesn't explode as hard as he needs to sometimes to make saves.
So my reason why I bring it up, did you notice that in game one and two at all?
I don't know necessarily that. I think when we've talked about game one and two, we talked about, oddly enough, it seems like when Freddie's a little bit off, he has a hard time following the puck behind the net. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like when you're off, you do have a harder time tracking the puck behind the net.
So you think is he just like late? Just like late,
yeah,
to pucks,
just a little bit late, not looking over the correct shoulder,
right,
at the right time, a little bit late. So when it goes back behind the net, he's kind of looking both ways. Then it goes out, and he's still getting set in his reverse. And because he's still bringing his hands in, as the puck's going to be one timed, he can't react with them back out.
Yeah, so then he just ends up being late to the shot.
Yeah, which I've noticed a weird thing this year that I picked up on pass outs is that when there's a pass out to a one timer, your hands have to be set. Cause if you're still getting them in to your butterfly from your reverse or from moving post to post while they shoot it, you're never going to be able to react out.
Yeah.
It might still hit you and you might still make the save, but your hands have to be set on a pass out, mm-hmm. which is a whole different topic, but just something that I picked up this year.
I was going to say that a whole different topic is the work prior to the save. And a lot of the times goals happen, to further your point, goalies being late moving post to post when the puck's behind the net, and then it goes down and in.
But that's when you watch Freddie and you're like, okay, this is how I know he's not feeling it, because he's not tracking it well. His hands aren't set, or he's not set when the puck moves out to a one-timer. When he's feeling it, his hands are set, and he like makes an outstanding save, mm-hmm. with his hands on a one-timer.
Yeah. So is he like the opposite?
On a pass out from behind the net.
Is he like the opposite when he's not, of other goalies that we've often talk about, where it's like when you're not feeling good, they're almost like too ready?
I think a little bit. Yeah, like when Bob doesn't feel great, he's all over the place.
Yeah. Most goalies are. Like, yeah. I would say that like I am, you know, when I'm not feeling good, I'm all
for
over
sure,
the map.
Me too, because you feel like you have to work harder to make saves, and you feel like you have to try harder to track the puck.
Yeah.
Which is not a spot that's good to be in. And I feel like a lot of times on broadcasts, a goalie will be like 4 feet outside the top of his crease, and the commentators will be like, that's a confident goaltender right there coming out and cutting down the angle. It's like, no, it's not. He's hoping that if he gets out far enough, that puck will just hit him and he doesn't have to rely on his tracking and reading to make a save.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me.
Now, on the flip side, yes, if a goalie sinks back all the time into his crease on his goal line, that could also mean he's not confident.
Yeah, we've seen that before.
But it's
too.
But it's like the two goalies. Extreme ends of the spectrum. Yeah. There's the confident goalie is in the happy medium, yeah, where he's at the correct depth he needs to be at for the play.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first goal on Bob last night?
Was that the Stankoven goal?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that was the only goal they scored on him, right? Was there two empty nets?
I don't know. I didn't get to
there
see
was. It. There was two empty nets, and there was, because I watched the highlights on the TV when I was doing my 20-minute workout this morning.
Perfect.
because I remember I woke up this morning and I looked at the box score and it said two empty nets, but then on the ESPN highlights, it showed a second goal, but yeah, I think it was offside.
Okay.
But anyways, all besides.
I saw something like Paul Maurice has like won his 20-0 in his last 20 offsides challenges.
Jeez.
Say, for those of you keeping score at home. Anyways, keep going.
Sounds like the video coach is dialed. Yeah, so the first goal on Bob, to me, I've watched it a few times now. It looks like he was caught a little high. So
when Stankoven moves that puck, it gets around him, you're saying?
Well, Stankoven shot it from
over
like
his shoulder, right?
Yeah, yeah, over his right shoulder, short side. Okay, just for the record, it was a sick shot. It was a sick shot that he might not have stopped even if he was in perfect position.
Right.
But maybe what happened in that play, because so often, our goalie coach hats, often what we talk about is having flow. And what basically that means is, especially on a rush, you want to have a certain amount of depth so that you can flow backwards and kind of follow the play and then be in the correct position for specific areas where the puck could be shot.
For a shot or pass, basically, or a rebound.
A pass, like you don't want to be way out of your crease when the pass moves all the way across the ice because now you have to move further than if you were a little bit deeper. But there's some situations where I think goalies, and I don't know what the answer is for this off the top of my head, where goalies begin their flow. And to me, it looked like Bob might have been starting his flow because he was like 2 or 3 feet above the top of his crease,
yeah,
which is crazy high. My flow doesn't start there, but I'm not Bob.
Right.
It looked to me like he maybe wasn't anticipating Stankoven,
yeah,
shooting at that moment because he looked like he was higher than where he usually likes to be to make
Make that save. So now, was he a little bit off his angle, or you're saying he loses reaction time?
Loses reaction time, yeah, but like a lot, because I feel like that shot was probably taken from around the top of the circle, maybe between the hash and the top.
Yeah,
I feel like Bob, although he's crazy, it's hard to really get a read on where he likes to be.
Right.
Because he's just so good everywhere. But
yeah,
I feel like a safe estimate would probably be like he'd be like top of his crease.
Yeah, maybe safe. Just a little bit higher. Yeah. But about top, I feel like top of the blue paint is where
like
he likes
heels
to be.
Maybe?
Yeah, is where he likes to be.
But he was like 2 feet at least.
I mean, but that's what we talk about. That's the double-edged sword of, quote, cutting, challenging out to cut down the angle all the time.
Well, there's the happy medium, right?
Right, there's
the
happy medium.
You should go into that, though.
But you lose, but I'm saying, you come out and you cut down the angle on a player by themselves. You may force them to miss the net. They may hit you.
Yep.
But if they make a good shot, or let's say they pull it or push it to try to get around you, like, if they make a good shot and it's around you, you lose reaction time, for one thing.
Yeah. You already have very little in the first place.
And oddly enough, that puck can hit you in a worse spot than if it's just going at your glove. So like, and I've some goalies I've worked with, they've talked to me about this too. Like, if I'm really far out, that puck goes right next to my shoulder instead of just going at my glove.
Yeah.
So it's harder for me to make the save directly next to my shoulder than it is if I just catch it.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, like, maybe if Bob is on top of his crease instead of 2 feet on top on that shot, maybe he can even react with like a chicken wing, like make an elbow save or a blocker
save. He has more time to react.
Knowing Bob, he probably stays on his feet and just makes a blocker save.
Right. He would just, this is just going high blocker. But it's easier to stay on angle if they move laterally.
Yeah.
And so when you're super far out, if they push or pull it, it's easier to lose the net behind you. So it's easier to be off angle. And you have to move farther to stay on angle.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, from my experience, I prefer to be a little bit deeper, I think, than most.
Maybe. I think so. It depends.
But what I'm trying to say is, I think Bob was too far out, but I also don't think he should be, like, on his goal line. That's
right.
Not what
no,
I'm saying.
Of course not. Because he needs to have flow and he needs to take some space.
And he can probably more often than not take more space than most goalies because he's so fast and athletic that he can be a little further out and still get to a lateral play or shift a
little, oh, yeah.
or shift over if the guy changes the angle of the shot, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like Stuart Skinner, perfect example. He can't play that way. He cannot come. No. He doesn't have the speed and mobility to play like Bob, but he doesn't. Right?
He doesn't. Right.
You know. So I'm just saying, there's two different.
Or Helly, who's about to be back to back Vezina winner.
Yeah. Same thing. And actually, Helly's a guy that we've seen try and do that specifically in the playoffs a couple times. It didn't work out for him, but that's a good example of it. So, anyways, I bring that up just because we're talking about. Like the depth management and with Bob, I just think on that first goal, he just got caught at the beginning of his flow, which is very understandable. We've all been there. And also, again, it was a sick shot.
Now, if you want to see something wild regarding flow, you got to watch Igor. That guy's like not in his. That guy's not in his stance until the puck's like coming off the guy's blade. I don't know how he does it.
We almost shouldn't even talk about that.
That's like one of those things where like you can't teach it.
Do you remember that one practice you were trying it?
Oh, I was like, yeah.
Actually, I say one practice. I think you did it a few times.
We throw various things into practice for a little bit of fun, but also to be like, how does that guy do this? Let's see.
I look over at you and you're like, you got like your hands leaning on your pads. Now, keep in mind, Haynes told me he's going to do this prior to the drill. And the boys are coming down at 2-on-1 at like the top of the circle. Your hands are on your pads.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you like,
well, it's more.
Get your hands up. It's more like really it's high, oh, yeah. You know, I'm just worried about you getting hit in the head.
Well, it's more like a stretch stance. He's in a stretch stance at like the top of the crease, just waiting. Then when they get inside the top of the circles, then he gets into his stance last second, like he locks in right before they're gonna shoot it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does that so he can maintain like lateral movement before they shoot, but I feel like you could be like he's almost standing straight-legged.
I think he's just too good.
He just knows when they're going to shoot. He reads it. He's like, oh, this guy's not shooting this.
This guy's not shooting it. Yeah, we're talking about the same guy.
Now he's going to shoot it.
It could be like a wide 2-on-1, and then he's like already flat in his goal line. He's like, I know this is going lateral.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, this is going. Or this is going behind the net. I'm going to get my reverse.
Nobody else in the NHL does that.
No,
you can be in a narrow and stretch stance as they enter the zone, but he's like standing straight up, like not even ready. Yeah. Oh, they're not shooting.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't recommend playing that way unless you're got like
we've tried it.
25 years of experience.
Yeah. Yeah, we've tried it.
Yeah. We're a perfect example that at least 8 years of pro experience is not enough to play that way.
But we will say we've seen clips. We've seen times where Igor gets burned on it because his hands are still setting and they rip it.
It's rare though, right?
It's rare. Yeah, but we're like, like think about he probably makes more saves than he gives up because he does that.
Yeah.
Because it's like part of his thing. But like when he does get scored on because of it, it's like,
yeah, I know. It doesn't look good.
But it's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's so fun to watch a guy coming in on his forehand and Igor standing straight up.
Yeah. It's fun to watch because we know how we are in that situation and it's not standing up straight. It's like, oh, gotta get ready.
Yeah.
They're like crossing the red. We're like, oh, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see them at the other end about to make a breakout pass to their winger on the half wall. I'm like, I better get ready.
Yeah. Touching your post.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, here we go.
It's like, Stu, it's a 1-on-3.
Yeah.
Relax. You're fine.
Igor's like, I know this is a 3-on-1, but I'll get ready when they're at the hash mark.
Yeah.
But a couple things. A couple points I do want to make about depth management. Even like Wolfie and UC Saros, who are both smaller goalies, they on rushes aren't out much past the top of their crease.
Unless Juice is not dialed, but continue.
Right. If Juicy doesn't feel dialed in, then he probably is.
Now he's like at the blue line, yeah.
I'm watching, I've been watching highlights and watching clips of this offseason of Wolfie, and because I'm a bigger guy, I want to learn about some of the things that the smaller guys do that help them, and I notice on rushes like Leon Draisaitl coming in on a 2-on-1, he's just a little bit at the top, maybe a little bit above the top of the crease. Leon shoots it, he just makes a save.
Yeah, that's sick.
Like that's a guy that's a confident goalie. That's what a confident goalie looks like. That's Leon Draisaitl. I'm just going to stay at about the top of the crease, so if he makes a pass, which he can, I can get over. If he shoots it, I have a good chance to make this save. Yeah. And that's what you're doing with depth management, is giving yourself the best chance to make the save, obviously. So that was one point I wanted to make, was even the smaller guys, they're not crazy wild.
Yeah, he's like 5'10".
Unless they're not feeling good. Yeah.
He's really
small. If that, I think.
Yeah, he's small. Like, he's smaller than NHL small.
He almost looks smaller than Juice.
He might be. They're both no taller than 5'10", right?
I don't
think.
No.
I think Juice, his hockey stats claim that he's 5'11", but I don't know.
I think that's a generous 5'11".
Yeah.
So, but they have their, you know, what Wolfie does do as a smaller guy that helps him is he's able to get everywhere on his feet, and he's super explosive and quick, flexible, and him and Juicy both have great hands.
Yeah.
So if you're a smaller goalie, that's what you got to have.
Yeah. But I like your perspective of being a bigger guy too, just to tie this into what you're saying. Like for you to be looking at smaller goalies and seeing how they play and why they play that way. Obviously two really good ones and Juice.
Guys we both think are good.
But like as a bigger guy, if you can look at two goalies like that that are smaller and pick up some tools that they use, that they have to use because they're small. But if you utilize that in your game,
yeah,
plus your size, I mean, that's just
right.
Now you have the advantage.
So it's like, okay, well, let's see where Wolfie and Juicy are playing this situation at. And it's like, well, why can't I play it there?
Right.
If Wolfie's heels on top or toes on top on a rush, mm-hmm. I should be at most heels on top or toes on top, depending on what's going on.
And then from there, it's like, okay, now what do I have to do? If I'm going to play here, and I know I can because those guys can, and I'm 5 inches taller than them, maybe I need to focus in more on my athleticism or reaction or whatever, right?
Oh, exactly. But that's where I think like Vassy and Bob are crazy, and Sorokin,
yeah,
is that they have that 5'8 explosiveness and athleticism, but they're 6'3".
Yeah, 100%. It's got to be hard.
Carey doesn't really have that. I mean, he had the smoothness.
So do you think it's harder for a guy with size to play, to develop those skill sets, or do you think it's more so that guys of those size don't necessarily need it until they get to a super high level so they don't develop it?
I don't know. I think body mechanics wise, it's a little bit harder. Like if I'm in my butterfly, I feel like it's harder to lift my knee to get my edge as fast as UC and Wolfie does, because their knee doesn't have to go as far to get up to get their edge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or go down. It takes longer to go down. We're just talking science.
We're talking split set. Yeah. This is way above my pay grade.
Yeah. But you get what I'm saying?
We're in like the physics realm right now.
The answer is probably somewhere in the middle. I bet you there's some guys who have size that just like kind of, I'm going to say, get away with certain things because their size as they're
growing up. Well, hell, he's not crazy fast or athletic.
Right.
Well,
but he's his goalie sense is off the charts.
Positioning, goalie sense, reading pucks.
Yeah. He's got, everything aside from like flexibility and athleticism, he's like the best in the world at.
Yeah.
I bet you it's something in the middle. There's a little bit of that with some people, and there's a little bit of what was the other one? There was being, I'm going to call it a little bit of complacency, not needing to be athletic.
We were talking about speed, athleticism, hands, I feel like are big.
And a little bit of maybe you're like a 13-year-old kid who's like 6'3", and your body is simply just so long that you haven't developed like the muscle structure and quick twitch muscles, like haven't developed yet to be that way.
They're on their way.
So there's probably a little bit of both in there.
But with our game and our goalies, we try to develop speed with everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the size. And the same, we approach depth the same way too.
Yeah.
You and I with our games,
yeah,
we see the game the same way. We try and play the same way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we're a little bit different in certain ways. Like, you can hang out in your reverse for half the game. I don't have the balls to do that.
It's all situational. That's what I'll say.
But for the record, that doesn't have anything to do with our size. I'm just not comfortable doing that.
No, it's just
like being on my feet.
A little,
that's all it is.
And then, so the other point I was going to make on depth management is it used to be you go to goalie camp and they put the two ropes on each post. And they put them out to a point to form a triangle.
Yeah.
And then they would have you move out of the net until your gloves touch each side of the triangle. And they're like, that's where you need to be to cut down this angle.
Where's the puck in this situation?
Like in the slot, like between the tops of the circles. You know what I'm talking about? You've never done that?
No, I, to be honest, I have never done that, but yes, I've seen it. And you said used to, I still see it. I still see those damn ropes that come out on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I've always thought it was so stupid.
Theoretically, it makes sense. If I'm here, I cut down this angle. But it doesn't take into account many things.
Like reaction time?
Passing options, reaction time. Like, I could be back and not have my gloves touching each side of that triangle, but when they shoot it, I get to move.
Yeah.
If I played, like, with my arms tied together, then I would have to do that.
Yeah, you almost need like a sports science on this.
Yeah.
Like considering the angle, considering if the puck moves, how much time does it take me to get from point A to point B if I'm here? How much time do I have to react whether I'm here from a shot that's, I guess you would just put a puck wherever and then,
right.
Or depending on where the shot comes from, you know, your reaction time is going to be different if the shot's drastically different, if the shot's coming from the top of the circle or if it's coming from the hash mark. From the hash mark, you basically have nothing. From the top of the circle, you almost have nothing. You know, like,
yeah.
So that couple feet, oftentimes 3 feet of difference between maybe a goalie who plays more aggressive and a goalie that plays more conservative in regards to depth, I personally think from my experience makes a huge difference in reaction time.
Yeah.
Like substantial.
Yeah.
And I don't have like the numbers or the science to like prove it or tell you exactly the numbers on it.
But you've played both ways.
Yes.
You've done it all.
Yes. I've played both ways. I played one way for a very long time. And then recent years I've changed to being a little more conservative with my depth. And I can tell you, I would like the conservative way for me is personally, I found more success,
but that's kind of how it's, I think the game has evolved. Like it used to be, we all played far out and that's how it was. And now you're kind of, there's a lot of, almost everybody plays more conservative with their depth.
Yeah.
Now in today's NHL, at least.
Well, what are you going to do when a guy's skating 30 miles an hour coincided with another guy who's skating 30 miles an hour. And now these guys are rifling passes 45 miles an hour or faster, probably that.
Yeah, they can pass it.
Again, I don't have the numbers
on
these things.
They can snap it. Yeah.
You can't be too far out. Otherwise, you're just going to have no chance at getting to that
point. You're toast.
Yeah.
And then, like we said, like to your point with the Stankoven goal, if they make a perfect shot, it might go in anyways. But you feel like if they don't hit you with it and you're super far out on them, you don't have as much. You can't react to it.
Yeah.
And that's not even mentioning they can just pull it and go around you and tuck it behind your heels.
Right.
If they're smart. Like if they're by themselves and there's a goalie charging out at them, they're like, I'm just gonna pull this around his heels.
Yeah. If they have the time and space to do it, why not?
Right.
Any good player is gonna do that. Yeah. Any good player that I've seen at pretty much any high level of hockey is if they see a goalie that's way far out and they have time and space, they're gonna go around you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're relying on lucky saves where you're going to be probably falling on your back trying to make like a behind the back glove save or stick save or something.
Right.
Which are sick. And every time it happens, we're like, you got to respect the effort. But then we're also like, he's.
Right. That's the battle making saves where like he's probably not happy about how he positioned himself there.
Yeah.
You know, how he set himself up to make that save.
Crap.
If we're watching an NHL game or something.
Yeah. Crowd's going nuts. And we're coming back to the bench like, can't believe I had to make
stupid.
That behind the back save.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
That was dumb. All right.
So we had that. I think the other PSA I was going to make was if your team gives up 6 goals like every other game, you're not a good defensive team.
Yeah. PSA.
And this is where we're talking about Stuart Skinner.
A lot of PSAs this episode.
Once again. And I think, who was it that was talking about if Pickard came back healthy, which Stuart Skinner got pulled, everyone's panicking.
Oh.
Then he got 2 shutouts, right?
Oh, it was Biz.
Then game one, he gave up 6 against Dallas, which... Again, yeah, you don't want to give up 6, but like, did you look at the game, man?
Mm-hmm. I know. When the Oilers are bad, they're bad.
They took bad penalties. Their best guys don't stop and start.
No, you said Draisaitl just going for wheels in his own zone.
Was it their fifth goal or sixth goal that Duchesne scored where it was their coming fifth. Through neutral zone, fifth goal, turnover. McDavid finishes his defenseman. Hyman's on the wall as F2. Draisaitl's F3. Goes the other way. Big bus turn away from the, away from the puck, which is a pet peeve for, I think, everybody that plays hockey.
Every coach ever.
Kind of hangs back, waits to see if the Stars turn it over again, which they're in the NHL, so of course they don't. Then finally tries to catch Duchesne to the net, actually kind of gets off his back hip, then swings off him instead of tying him up. Swings again, another bus turn. Another 747
turn.
Yeah,
but Stu
and
is
then,
tired.
And then Duchesne just scores doorstep by himself.
He's they're tired. Him and McDavid, they play right. Like 30 minutes.
Their game plan is you guys are going to play every other shift. Please help us win.
Please score 4 goals tonight. You're playing 40 minutes. Don't worry about the bus turns.
So being tired is an excuse to not play the right way?
No,
that's what I've always said.
I'm trying to heat you up.
Right. But of course, no one said that about Draisaitl.
No.
But it's always Stuart Skinner's fault.
Right.
And then he gets 2 shutouts and then gives up 6, but then they win with a shutout against Dallas, right? In game 2. Another shutout and then gives up 1 against Dallas.
Yeah. He had 2 shutouts to end the series against Vegas. Then he let in 6 in game 1 against Dallas.
Yep.
Got a shutout in game 2 and let in 1 in game 3.
Yeah. So I think obviously, yes, the Oilers they play better. Although the 1 goal in game 3, Dallas kind of like dominated a little bit, didn't they? And Stu kind of kept them in it.
Wait, game 3, that was 2 o'clock on Sunday, Monday,
Sunday.
Yeah, I don't really remember much. I think I might have been watching some Cars.
Wow, you're probably watching Cars turn left.
Yeah. Actually, I was watching them turn left and right, I think, at that time. That was the Indy race.
Right. Yeah, there were some right turns.
For the record.
Even Sinks texted me like, I don't think the Oilers played that well. Just, you know.
And he would know.
They ended up winning. Yeah, he's a big Oilers fan.
It was Paul Bissonnette. Because remember, I told you, I was like, Paul Bissonnette was saying if Pickard comes back, are they going to go with him? And the boys on the podcast were like, what are you talking about?
Okay.
He just got 2 shutouts. Yeah. What are you talking about?
What is with the panic with the goalies?
I don't know.
Why the panic? Like, it's hockey. You play a lot of games. Guess what? If your goalie gives up 6, I bet you your team didn't play very well.
I don't think that's how people look at it.
If your goalie gets a shutout, I bet your team played pretty well.
They're not. People don't look at it that way. They look at, oh, he gets a shutout and then he lets in 6. He's inconsistent. They don't. They go, oh, well, McDavid and Draisaitl are playing 40 minutes a night. They're doing everything they can. They just need to save.
Yeah, except
that's
for
their
playing the right
that's
way.
That's how they look at it. They're not looking at the game. They're not looking at the game from your lens. They're looking at the game. They're just looking from an offensive standpoint. Who can score more goals? But it is confusing. Like I'm with you. It's confusing because then you listen to the broadcasters, then start talking about defensive plays, like the specifically the players who used to play, like Marc Messier, Subban, who's the guy on the Canadian broadcast over there, Bieksa.
Oh, Kevin Bieksa.
Right? Bieksa is actually, I think people are starting to not like him. I'm starting to like him more and more.
He's hot and cold to me.
Dude, this guy, you need to watch
There's
more Sportsnet.
There's some things
he
say that are wild. I don't have Sportsnet. I have American
broadcast. You got to come over and watch.
Okay, but there's some things that he says that are hot and cold to me. PK, I think, has been good lately.
Yeah.
Marc Messier irks me a little bit because he's just so pro Oilers. He was saying in game 1 that the Stars should just like forfeit the game and just move on to game 2.
Yeah.
But they won.
Yeah. Was it you that sent me the clip of the Marc Messier elbows?
No.
There's like a 3-minute montage of Marc Messier throwing elbows in people's face.
Yeah, in the 90s, that's just called a good hit.
It was so sick.
That's just a good hit.
He was so dirty. I didn't realize how dirty of a player he was, man. I know it was the 90s, but
I don't know a lot about Marc Messier, unfortunately.
I'll send you this. It's legitimately like a 3-minute montage of him just elbowing people in the face.
Great.
Like skating. Guys don't have the puck.
And he's an elbow to the face.
Just like skates by, elbow to the face. Like he was a dirty player. Anyways, sorry.
So, again, I don't understand the goalie panic that goes on.
It's one of those things.
If your goalie gives, if Stuart Skinner gives up six, you just put him back in the next game. He probably isn't going to give up six. Like, he's not bad. And also, if the Oilers fans want to appreciate something, he has actually a strength of being able to put stuff behind him and just play.
Yeah.
Like, he'll give up six, he'll put it behind him, and he'll just get a shutout the next game. Like, yeah. I think mentally he's got a – he doesn't get credit. I don't think he gives enough – I don't think he gets enough credit for some of the mental game that he has.
Dude, playing in that
just
market –
Just being able to let it go.
Playing in that market in front of, behind a team that's that inconsistent in regards to the defensive side of the puck.
Yeah.
Like, he – in my opinion, he's one of the most mentally tough goalies that's playing right now.
For his hometown.
Yeah, that – oh, yeah.
Gets shredded. Hometown.
Yeah.
And then just goes out. Oh, that's okay.
By the Edmonton faithful he used to be a part of.
Yeah. Trust himself, which I think is you have to, as a goalie, I think this is a great study and something that you have to have. But trust himself to, I'm just going to go out and play the next game and play as best I can, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, even Helly was like, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
The weight of the world's off my shoulders after they win.
Yeah,
which shows you that he was adding games up in his head and letting them snowball, which you can't do. Mm-hmm. It's just got to be gone.
And that's
I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna go out and play next game. I don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
I don't need to do anything different.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go out and play and trust my game. And that's what you have to do as a goalie. When if you have a bad game, just I'm gonna go play, and I'm gonna enjoy it.
It's so hard to do, but that's why we're talking about it.
But that's why we're talking about it, because it's hard to do, but he does it.
Yeah, and he just gets ripped constantly.
Oh my gosh!
I got to throw something at you here. Saw a clip yesterday.
That's always a good start.
Calvin Pickard's back.
Okay, I'm happy he's back. I don't like it when guys get hurt, obviously.
Of course. And I like Calvin Pickard. I've met Calvin Pickard. He's an extremely nice guy. His teammates love him.
Yeah, okay. that's what I think Chris Knobloch was saying, is that the boys, like, they love that either the goalie's in the net and Pickard fits in well, and the boys love him, and you know,
he's a good Manitoba boy. Yeah, the Winnipegger,
right?
great guy. Oh. And you know what? Good goalie. He battles hard. Okay, but what I'm about to say is I'm not about to rip him. What I'm about to say is, the first thing that crossed my mind when I saw him skating on the ice was, oh no. Because of the mental side of things. So, yes, Skinner's mentally tough. He's proven that to us, to everyone, over the last 12 months.
I think to the people who are paying attention, yes.
But another mental obstacle that is you can't pretend isn't there is all the noise of from outside sources.
Yeah.
Which, keep in mind, I know you can't think about, but it's hard not to.
I think Stuart Skinner somehow has found a way to not let it get to him.
I hope so.
Because it seems that way, right? With how he plays.
It does.
Like where they say the proof is in the pudding on
this
one. Okay,
but even if he completely has, if the Edmonton Oilers come out and lay an egg tonight, you know what they're going to be saying. Right?
Put Calvin back in.
If Stu lets in four in the first period and Calvin Pickard comes out, people are going to be like, oh, thank God. You know, like, good. Which is just
the Oilers
nothing
fans,
against Calvin Pickard.
I think it was against Dallas last year the Oilers fans were booing Stuart Skinner 5 minutes into a game because he gave up two goals again.
Yeah. So it's nothing against Calvin. I'm just saying. It's the first thing that crossed my mind when I saw he was back on the ice is, here we go.
Well, I think you could look at it either way. You could give it a case. Stu gave up four in the first 20 minutes of hockey. Let's pull him. He's going to mentally reset, and now he gets to rest. And now that means for the next game, he's going to be good to go.
Yeah, that's not what the media is going to say.
And see, I like that how the coaches have managed goalies when it's, you know, a three-goal game or more. Going into the third, they put the backup in or whoever's not playing in.
Yeah,
I like that because you if you're a coach, I'm assuming you tell your starter, hey man, like, I'm putting him in. It's not, I just want to rest you. There's no risk in you getting hurt. There's no risk in you, wearing yourself down anymore. You've been through an 82 game season.
Yeah.
So why don't we rest you for 20 minutes and you play in 48 more hours and you're good to go.
Yeah, I agree. The pros of doing that outweigh the cons for sure. And you also get that the backup some reps, which is good. You want him to be
right.
feeling good.
Because if anybody goes down,
yeah,
he's got to play. And maybe Kochetkov playing that game three for Carolina was a win-win for Rod, although I'm sure although it wasn't a win-win-win because they lost the game.
Yeah, they lost, yeah. It was a win-win loss.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, he goes in, he gets some, you know, I think that's not what he was thinking, but maybe Freddie getting some rest was beneficial.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not the days anymore where Babcock would run Freddie into the ground for like 65 games a year and then have him play every game of playoffs too.
Right. Yeah, and that just sparked something too. So do you think Freddie gets a shutout last night if he played game three and lost?
I think so. But I think Freddie's...
Do you think so, or do you like to think so?
I'd like to think so. I think Freddie's in that... Also in that mental state where he just lets things go at this point.
Yeah, he's such a pro. He's got so much experience. Like, think about all the stuff he's seen, all the situations he's been through. Like, you're right. I can only form opinions based off of my own experience. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
like,
right. Right. I can only think about things how I would think about, how I've thought about them when I'm in the net.
Yeah. Yeah, but
which could be totally different from how anybody's thinking about it.
Right, but I think you're a little better than me at being able to put these guys who play at a higher level than we have on a higher pedestal. I'm working on that. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, you're able to be like, okay, I hope you're like, I think Freddie is just he would have gotten a shutout.
Yeah.
Because he's Freddie.
Right.
But if I asked you that question about some kid that's a 17-year-old playing junior, you'd be like, ah. Whereas for me, probably I'm just not. Like thinking about myself, like how would I be in that situation?
Oh,
that's all. That was all I was trying to say. I think you're good at being like, no, this guy's like a 34-year-old goalie. He's been in the NHL for 14 years. Like,
yeah.
He's got it figured out. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. Which, absolutely.
Yeah.
Which, I was gonna bring this up earlier, but we got into talking about a lot of things. But I saw a quote from Bob. And they were talking about how Carolina was like kind of getting in his grill in the first game. They were running into him, all kinds of stuff. And he's just like, yeah, it doesn't bother me. I just focus on the moment right now. And I don't worry about anything else.
Yeah.
So like they can't, you know, they're running into him, which I thought him getting hit by Svechnikov was a lot worse than Bennett kind of running into Stolarz, because Svechnikov was like on purpose with his hip, which he paid for, because in I think it was game two, he had two turnovers in the first period that ended up his net, then punched Matthew Tkachuk in the head.
That was game one.
And that ended up in his net.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure that was game one?
I'm pretty sure that was game one.
I thought game one Bob got ran by him, and then maybe it was all game one.
I think it was all game one.
Anyways, he ended up paying for that because he was directly responsible for three goals against in one period after that.
He also got a face full of gloves from like two different Florida Panthers players after he hit Bob.
Yeah,
I think it was. I think Reinhardt was one of them.
Aho did too. Well, yeah. that was unrelated. But
oh wait, maybe I'm thinking of Aho. It was when Bob was like kind of slightly off his blocker side post a little bit, and he like fell back because someone fell on him.
Yeah,
was that Aho?
I don't know.
It might have been Aho.
Anyways. I know that Bob was getting run into, but he was like, that doesn't bother me because I'm just focused on, you know, the next moment
and
making that save.
You could tell by his body language on that play, too. He just, like, he kind of got, like, hit, and then he just, like, got up.
Yeah, which is great because he, I think, again, we're talking about things that makes guys good in the NHL. Him just focusing on right now and the next save, that's the mental toughness. That's what Stuart Skinner has. That's what Freddie has.
Yeah.
Just like, and that's what Vassy has, I think. Just, I get scored on. I don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I get run into, not worried about that. Now, I want you to contrast that with Aiden Hill against the Oilers.
Oh,
yeah. He was getting run into, like chasing guys to the corner.
Yeah.
Nothing against Aiden Hill.
He went Ron Hextall. That's what I thought of when I watched those clips. I loved it. I was like, let's go. But then
maybe,
I was also like,
maybe Ron Hextall's also like, yeah, I'm focused on the moment too. And at this moment, my blocker's going through this guy's teeth.
Yeah.
I know exactly what's happening in this
Hextall's
moment.
Hextall's like, how can you be more in the moment than that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hextall's like, if I'm not putting my stick through someone's teeth, I'm not in the moment.
This is such a tough one for me.
But I think as a goalie, you'd never want to let the other team know that anything bothers you. Because as soon as they know something bothers you, they're going to do more of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like when the boys know that like a certain chirp bothers a guy, but they just like get, they chirp him constantly about that thing because they know it bothers them and they think it's funny. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
So if you're never bothered, if you're never bothered and you never show that you're bothered, they'll just be like, we can't bother this guy. Yeah. He, you know what I mean? There's nothing we could do. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like it makes it harder on them. And you feel, you know, more in the game yourself because you're not worried about other stuff. You're just worried about making the next save.
Yeah.
Now, our careers have had different trajectories with this.
That's why I haven't said anything.
Right.
I can't.
You're more of...
Just have the twitch.
I'm going after you.
Just have the twitch.
Yeah.
Right. But that's why I didn't say anything, because there's been many, many examples of me not doing exactly what you're talking about. You know, like...
But would you agree with that or no?
Yes, 100%. Okay. And there's been times, if I'm being honest, there's when I'm dialed, I don't respond. But it's usually when I'm having, when things aren't going my way is when my wires cross.
Right. Yeah. If we're already down 5-1, okay.
Well, yeah, 2-0. 2-0 halfway through the game.
If
like,
we're losing at all, okay.
Yeah.
If we're losing or we're winning 7-3 and I've given up 3 through 2 periods, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
If I like try to go make a glove save and the puck falls out, I'm going somebody.
Yeah. I'm chasing someone down the ice.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that's a good point. And I did notice that about Bob too. And on that play that we're not sure if it was Aho or Svechnikov in game one, I noticed he fell down. Two guys took whoever that guy was to the corner and gave him a couple face washes, whatever, which is great. Bob got up and there was a D-man standing in front of him. And I think it might have been the guy who probably pushed one of the Carolina players onto him a little bit. And that guy, I'm assuming, was probably like, hey, my bad. And Bob was just like, gave him like a tap on like the shin pads. And I was like, oh no, Carolina's done. Bob is dialed. Nothing's rattling him.
Bob tapped his own guy in the shin pads, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. He does that. I notice he does that after every glove save. It's like one of his things. Hmm. Or sorry, anytime he has the puck and there's a whistle, he always taps his D-man shin pads.
I think that's sick. I think that's cool.
It's like one of his things.
Hmm. That's weird, but I've always noticed it when it's like relevant to the play. I've never just seen him flush a glove save and then just be like, I haven't seen that yet.
He like does the thing where he slides it to the dot and like taps his D shin pad.
Like he throws the puck to the dot?
Yeah.
Really? I wonder if refs hate
like that. That's showtime.
You think refs hate that?
I don't know. Truthfully,
I've always
don't
been
like
here you go, man.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to bend over.
Well, that's how Vassy is too. He gives the ref the puck and taps their shin pads at the same time as they're grabbing it out of his glove. Everybody's got their things.
Taps the ref shin pads?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's just Vassy just buying
buttering
some calls.
Him up.
Yeah. Which is that's fine, you know.
That's a long time pro. That's a multiple time cup winner. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuz Vassy knows, he's like, "One day I'm going to snap and I need these guys on my side." To butter these guys up for a few years. Mm-hmm. Anything else on this? For the record, we've got 4 points here.
Yeah.
We've tackled kind of two, but
yeah,
mostly just one.
I think, I think this is, we're looking at it probably a good time to wrap it up.
Yeah, unfortunately, because that's all right. We've got a lot of good content.
But our big things today, I mean, we touched a lot on depth management, and we touched a lot on how you can relate what you're seeing in NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, to what's going on mentally with these guys that makes them so good.
Yeah.
And it's, it's just total credit to guys that are doing that.
There's not a goalie left in the NHL playoffs right now that I think isn't mentally strong. They're all pretty nails. The only one that we have a small sample size of is Ottinger. Relatively small compared to like Freddie.
Yeah. I mean, Ottinger's been playing.
And Bob, like, who's been around forever.
Yeah.
Like, we know these guys are tough. We know Stuart Skinner's mentally tough because of last year's playoff.
Yeah.
Ottinger to me looks like a dog. I love him. I'm loving him every game I watch him. I'm like, okay, I like this guy.
Yeah, and he had that crazy quote. Like, what was his quote about? Like, when he's in the net, his mind is just telling him to get out of the net or something.
Yeah, there was something. Like, well, I think you told me about it.
I did. It was some kind of wild quote, which is like probably not something that you'd probably what's always going through your goalie's head when they're in the net, but not something you want to hear them vocalize.
Right. But there's also a form of mental like, toughness. Like, hey, I don't want to be in the net. That,
right. Know? But he's also like, I want to start for USA.
Yeah.
So.
I think he's a little bit of an oddball just based off of his quotes. But in regards to strictly goaltending, from what I've seen from him, I love the way he plays.
He's the same way, though. Like, when he's not feeling his best, he gets a little crazy, too.
But his little – yes, he does. But his little crazy is not the same as some. Like, he's right. Not Peter Mrazek crazy.
I think – well, oh, my gosh.
Sorry to throw that name out there to you. He's not Juicy Saros crazy when Juice is not feeling good.
Well, we talked about the other game. I think it was game one against Edmonton, where I felt like I got to watch a lot of the second half of that game. I felt like he wasn't feeling like he was in the flow, didn't have his best focus, but made the saves he needed to. And yeah. They didn't always look the cleanest, but you know, it's guys walking in between the tops of circles. He's making saves. That's all you can ask.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I can't imagine those games where you're maybe not feeling that good. He's probably a little gassed. You know, he just finished round two. I'm talking from a mental standpoint. I don't think physically he's gassed at that point because he's a pro and seems to take care of himself pretty good. But it's got to be tough if you're not feeling that good and your team potentially is a little mentally gassed and you've got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl coming down on you, flying towards you. You know what I mean? Like, I think that situation is like the prime situation in all of hockey where you're going to chase a little bit if you're not feeling well.
Especially because, again, you want to win so bad.
Yeah, you want to win, but you don't feel good. And then you've got some really good players coming down on you making some stupid plays.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't imagine how tough that is.
You just got to trust you can read the game. And it's hard. You can't think about that you, like, don't feel like you're in the flow.
Yeah.
And it just takes you out of focusing on making the save.
It's nearly impossible. Possible, but it's hard.
Yeah,
but I think.
And
sorry, go ahead.
No, I think. Yeah, I mean, you know Otter better than I do because you watch him a little bit more than I do.
I love him. I've also got this weird thing for guys that are decked out in Bauer.
Yeah, like the guy that you sent me on Instagram with one pad hanging off his leg.
Yeah, I was like,
the strapping just breaks down.
I've been there.
Because the strapping just rips the pad off his leg.
I've literally been standing in Huntsville in their arena in front of like 7,000 people looking at my EQ with one pad on my leg.
Yeah, as the play's going on.
Yeah.
Because a guy's skate got caught in it.
I'm like, what do I do? Like, is this like a situation where the net comes up?
Can they blow the whistle? Or
I'm like one play away from taking like one off the shin.
Yeah, you're directly taking a puck off the shin. Yeah. No, like your pad is literally on the ice like this in front of your leg. So Spit and Chicklets posted that on Instagram and Twitter and said caption contest. What I thought was funny that I picked up from that was that like doesn't make Bauer look good.
No, I was just going to say, we've talked about that.
Like,
we literally, we had my Bauer pad with a hole in it. We're sitting right here.
Right. We have been sitting at this table with a Bauer pad with a hole in it.
But I'm not here, I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm personally not here to roast Bauer. I think their pads are awesome.
I'm not roasting Bauer.
They just break down easily.
I'm just saying they come off your leg mid-game.
Yeah. They're not built.
I've never seen another pad do that.
Neither have I.
I've never seen Vaughn, True, Bryan's, Reebok.
No other pad.
CCM. I've literally never seen a leg pad completely come off of somebody's leg except for Bauer pads.
Have you only seen it twice?
I guess, but that's more than enough that I need to see it.
100%.
That's 200% more than any other pad.
Yeah. I'm sure it happens all the time. But for me, the Bauer pad is just so sick when it's brand new.
It is.
And the gloves are so crisp.
And they just came out with this new blocker that's like so thin.
Nah, that's not going to work.
We're like, okay, that's,
where's that thing
that's
made
nice of? If you get a new blocker every month or two.
Yeah, at least. I've had my True blocker, which I think True for durability is like right up there with Vaughn and Bryan's.
Yeah.
But my True blocker, even it the stitching was starting to come off after 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lie. After 3 weeks of professional hockey, which I had like 2 months of practice.
Right. Still a lot of pucks.
Yeah, but still, right. I'm like, come on. I didn't think it would be doing that.
Shouldn't be happening.
There's no way this Bauer blocker, we have to like post this or something. It's like as thick as a. Like your cell phone, you think?
I don't know. I mean, maybe like this table. It's hard to say. It's pretty thin. Maybe like as thick as a puck.
I don't think it's this thick.
Oh, so even thinner.
I think it's like half of that.
It almost looks like a piece of cardboard just wrapped up.
Yeah, that ain't going to last. There's no way.
But it's like an iPad. I bet it's light. It probably feels great.
I'm sure. Probably feels weird at first, but
yeah. I think we should finish with one thing because it's kind of on topic with what we're talking about as far as I think what lets these guys be good is focusing on I think when you start focusing on, like we've talked about, when you start focusing on results, you put too much pressure on yourself. You start trying too hard, and things go. You don't do as well. You don't play as well as a goalie. Mm-hmm. In the Indy 500 pre-coverage this Sunday, they had Joseph Newgarden. That's his name, Joseph Newgarden, right?
Yep.
They had him.
Penske boy.
Penske guy who are cheaters. They had him talk about. He was talking about his Indy 500s and how I guess he's really good in IndyCar. And how he's wanted to win. And he said he always used to show up and was really just focused on winning, the results, what's going on with the metrics, and he never won. Then he said, you know what? I get to drive a race car. I'm just going to show up and enjoy it, man, and just enjoy driving, enjoy the Indy 500, enjoy being a part of it. He's like, and then I won two in a row.
That's crazy.
And it's just like he's just engaged in what he's doing mm-hmm. instead of putting pressure on the results. Yeah, like there's so something to be said for it in all sports.
Across the board, obviously. If we're talking, we talk about this with goaltending, and then Joseph Newgarden is talking about it while he's driving an Indy car.
Yeah.
So those are two vastly different positions or
but just,
sports.
Just goaltending is so mentally taxing and focused that I think there's something to be said for it.
100%. You can't put too much pressure on yourself.
No. Even when you're supposed to, even it's like, if I don't play well, I'm not going to make this team. Still can't think about it.
No.
Just focus on doing your thing and making each save.
Which we tapped into on our previous episode a lot.
Yeah. We've been talking about that lately, but it's because it's been a huge theme in these playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's all I got.
Yeah. I'm done. I'm toast.
All right. I'm toast. Mentally toast.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for
listening.
See
you next time.
Next week.
Next week. Right.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. We got 3 weeks.
We're doing pretty good. Three in a row. Two's a fluke, three's a streak, right?
That's right.
All right.